Thank the Lord tonight.
Bless you.
For another time we can come together and feel His presence and be in His house. And like Sister Barb, like her mom said, if we could gather in the house of God with just a few people and feel His presence, is much better than gathering in a house of 1,000 people and not feeling anything, Brother Chester.
Amen.
And turn with me, if you will, tonight to the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. And in this portion of Scripture, it's just 5 verses that we're going to read tonight. And the day started out this morning, and we were gathered in, and we were given a prayer request. And this morning, as we gathered, thank you, Micah, and Brother Bob made the comment, and he said he just wants everyone to know and tell everybody and to say that God is awesome, and He really, truly is tonight. And I'm going to preach by the help of the Lord tonight on this on these scriptures. Maybe God help as our helper, and the Spirit would come and just move in these in this message about the awesomeness of God.
Amen.
I mean, just how good He is.
Amen.
And we overlook sometimes, we take for granted some of the things that He does, and I guess we really should never take for granted. I think probably we take for granted the things God does because we can't comprehend the magnitude of what He's done. We don't fully comprehend and understand how He could do it. And sometimes because of that, because of our own lack of understanding, we're taught that God is God. He does anything. But, I mean, when you start considering what He did and how it was done, and really when we consider it, it's something that should not be, some of the things that should not be beyond our comprehension, many of the things we ought to just stand in awe at, the things that we can understand. We are to be amazed tonight. 31st verse of 13th chapter of Matthew. And Jesus says this. It said, another parable put He forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable spake He unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake He not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. You can be seated tonight. As we look at these scriptures, we realize that, and it's often said that Jesus, we know, spoke in parables to the multitude on many occasions, and without a parable spake He not unto them. Oftentimes we see where they got off later in the day, or maybe later at another time, and the disciples, after hearing the parables that Jesus would speak, in their own lack of understanding, would come to Him and ask Him to expound upon those things so that they might understand what exactly it was that He was talking about. Jesus oftentimes, and many times, what He would do was take these, in these parables, He would speak to things concerning those issues and the day-to-day topics that could be understood by the multitude. But He would speak about those things on a spiritual basis so that they could try to understand and comprehend what it was that God was doing. If we really consider it, how the things that He done, it would virtually be impossible for a common man to understand if Jesus, the Son of God, was to come here and begin to explain or just tell them everything that heaven was, or begin to expound the magnitude of the Father and what it was that He saw, listen, from the beginning of time. If He really was to begin to speak about what He was seeing and what was done when Adam was formed out of the ground, hey, listen, they, being of the carnal nature that they were, could never have comprehended what He was talking about. If He began to speak about how it was that that the hands were laid to the clay, Brother Chester, and what it was that God decided to do. And listen, when he spoke everything into existence, and why God spoke everything into existence, and just to, and listen, the majesty and the power of God, and listen, and begin to try to describe to a weak and carnal vessel the awesome magnitude and of a spiritual God, it would be well beyond the comprehension of man. And listen, and so it was that Jesus took the simple things that we could hear and we could understand and tried to and related them unto us in a spiritual aspect that we could comprehend it. What he was telling them here was the kingdom of heaven. First of all, the kingdom of heaven is something far above any of us could ever imagine. I know we've been taught and we sing songs about the streets of gold and gates of pearl and walls of jasper. Hey, listen, we talk about the stones of the 12 foundations of that place. We talk about the beauty of that land. We talk about a place of one eternal day. We talk about a place where the sun never shines because the glory of God is the light in that city. We talk about a place where there is no night. We talk about a place where there is no sickness. We talk about a place where there is no death. We talk about a place that we can't even comprehend in our own imagination. But yet we talk about it so often. But somehow we think that we know all about it. When the reality is we've never caught a glimpse of it. Hey, listen, heaven's going to be far better than anything that we've ever imagined. And there aren't enough words in our vocabulary that can explain what we will feel and what we will see when we finally get to that place. Oh, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like this. He said a grain of mustard seed. Oh, listen, he's telling them that heaven is so good and heaven is so mighty. But to you, it seems simple and insignificant, like the grain of a mustard seed. It's something that you would look at and say, well, it ain't much, because you don't understand what God can make out of it. Oh, listen, or what he's done for it. But he says, you take that mustard seed, that little piece that the world might cast aside, and you plant it somewhere in the ground, and you let it grow. Hey, listen, tonight, there was a whole bunch of people in Jerusalem that thought Jesus was nothing. There's people today that will say he was nothing but a man. He was nothing no different than anybody else. But I want to tell you this. He was a seed planted unlike any other. Hey, listen, he was born like no other. He lived a life like no other. He died like no other. He was buried like no other. And he got up out of the ground. Thank God. And he blossomed and he sprung forth. Thank the Lord tonight that the gospel of Jesus Christ, though it might have been insignificant to the many folks in Jerusalem, one man chose 12 men, and today we stand 2,019 years later, and he still makes a difference. There are souls coming to the feet of Jesus right now, pouring their hearts out and begging him for mercy. And he's still taking them in, Brother Jim Perry. He's still allowing the souls of men to lodge in his marvelous glory. Hey, and he's got a place for each and every one that'll come to him. And there is no place or no time when God says, I'm not. And listen, there's not enough room for you. But I'm reminded what the Bible said when they went out to the high ways into the hedges. He said, compel them to come in that my house might be full. Hey, listen, but he told them there's still room to come in. Aren't you glad tonight that I'm a part of something that I may not be able to see the beginning, I may not know the ending, but I'm glad I'm right in the middle of it, and I know that God's in my heart and he's awesome tonight. I'm glad I'm serving a God that, hey, listen, when he looks down at me, he knows I can't comprehend everything about him. But I will say this, I am thankful that every now and then he gives us a glimpse of what it is that he has for us. How do you know, preacher? Because if you got the Spirit of God inside of you, hey, listen, you get a glimpse of it every now and then when the Spirit comes down in a mighty way and stirs your heart. No wonder the children of God tonight rejoice in the goodness of the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Without the Holy Ghost, we would have nothing. Without the Spirit of God, we wouldn't know anything. Hey, listen, I'm glad it was the Holy Ghost of God that spoke to me, that knocked at my heart. It was the blood of Christ that covered me. It's the Holy Ghost that guides me. He visits me. He talks with me, walks with me each and every day. Hey, listen, God didn't have to do that, and I don't know how he does. preacher? I don't know. He's awesome. I mean, what else can you say? Why does he do that? I don't know. He loves me. Why does he love you? I don't know why he loves me, but I know that he does. Hey, listen, and I know that there's a lot of people in this Bible that I've read from the beginning all the way to the ending that have oftentimes overlooked the glory of God. And they take it and they look at it in their life and they look at it around them and they take it to mean nothing. But all they're passing by the greatest thing that was ever given to mankind. And even in the world today, there's still people that look at the Bible and they at the name of Jesus and they'll say, I don't want to have any part of that. I want to tell you something tonight. If you don't get lodged in the tree, hey, listen, if you don't come part of the vine, if you aren't grafted into Jesus Christ, there's coming a day where the Bible said he'll gather up all the branches and the twigs that are broke off. Hey, listen, had no part, he said, I'll bundle them up and cast them out and they'll be burned forever. Amen. Don't preach about that. Hey, listen, I'm telling you, if you ain't part of the tree and you ain't in the vine, you're going to burn in the lake of fire someday. You're going to be cast out into outer darkness. Hey, listen, right now, there's folks right now burning in hell and they're being tormented in that place. But there's coming a day God's going to call them out of hell and he's going to cast them out into outer darkness. He said they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth in the lake of fire. Hey, listen, it's a bottomless pit and no man can escape it. But God is so awesome that he made a way that was so simple. And so, hey, listen, that the world will look at it as being insignificant. What does it take to get to heaven? It just takes a broken heart, a contrite spirit, and repentance, and faith believing, and you'll get there. How awesome is that? I would imagine if you gathered up this greatest scientists and the greatest minds today in our world, and you said, how do I get to heaven? They'd probably start trying to formulate a way to build a ship to get out into the outer place of the cosmos. Said, well, to get farther off, it's going to take this many light years, and it's so far. And by the way, the universe is still expanding, but at some point it's going to start retracting. When it starts retracting, in 10 million light years, you might make it to the other side. Foolishness is what it is. How are we going to get to heaven? The awesomeness of God's going to pick me up by the soul and he's going to put me there just that fast. Hey, listen, it ain't going to take me 10 million light years to get to the other side. Hey, listen, God's going to pick me up and carry me over and I'm going to be there like a blink of an eye. I'm going to be changed in the moment of a twinkling of an eye. I'm going to be called up forevermore to be with him. Hey, listen, and it's not some long journey I got to wait on. He's coming to get me. Hey, listen, and when he calls me, I'll hear his voice and I'll come out of the grave. Thank God I'll put on a brand new body. I'll come out of that restful peace that I'm in. Hey, listen, that death put me in. And I'll wake in the newness of heaven. Amen. Why? Because that's how awesome God is. That's what he's going to do for us. Jesus tried to expound and explain it here. And he said he took the least of all seeds. The Bible tells us there was nothing about Jesus that was necessarily more appealing as far as appearance goes. He didn't come out of a house of a king. He wasn't born in some mansion somewhere, but he come lowly. He come meek. He come humble. He told John the Baptist sent the messengers back to John the Baptist when they said, "Are you the one, or do we seek another?" He said, "You tell John that the blind can see, the deaf can hear, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." He come to all of us, to the weak, to the poor. He come to all of us in need. The Pharisees and their self-righteousness proclaimed that they were higher than everyone else. Jesus just looked at him and he said, "The well need not a physician." They were so self-righteous they wouldn't even hear him. But he come to those that needed help and those that realized they needed help. When did you get saved? When I realized I was sick in sin. Until that time, I was just like the high-minded, self-righteous, I don't need that, but I was lost as could be. And even though the world was like that, and even though there were people in the city like that, and even though there are people today that are still like that, God's still so awesome in love that He came to us anyway. Amen. And not only did He come, notice what Jesus said. He said, but when it has grown, that gospel that started in Jerusalem with His life, how He preached for those 3+ years to the disciples, how He taught the people day in and day out, how He was found in a synagogue. In a time when the Bible would say, never a man spake like this man. He was different. And a time when the disciples would walk with Him and talk with Him, and even after He was resurrected and they couldn't find the body, the Bible says He resurrected and He was in the city. He was seen with them. He communed with them. He had been throughout, I believe it was 40 days after His resurrection. Until the time that He went out onto the mountaintop and He stepped out on a cloud and He ascended up into glory. And by that time, we know that after He ascended there, He told them to go back, tarry in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. And in Jerusalem, as they sat there and they were considering everything that had happened, and the Holy Ghost finally come down and it blessed them and it fell upon them, and Peter went out and began to preach. I've often said it was the first gospel message preached in the power of the Holy Ghost. Maybe it was. Some might say, well, John preached. John preached repentance, but he was preaching repentance, but he wasn't preaching the blood of Jesus. He was preaching repentance, that man must repent to God. But the way was still a mystery. They knew there was going to have to be repentance, but they didn't know how they would be remitted of their sins. But here, Peter stood up and he began to tell them about Jesus and the gospel of Jesus Christ and how they had planted it, how it began to blossom and grow. And all of a sudden, the power of that message began to touch the hearts of those people. And it pricked them to where they fell down and got saved. And they were brought in. 3,000 one day, 5,000 another day, thousands and thousands and thousands. How many people are going to heaven? I don't know. John said there was a number no man could number. He said, I saw a multitude. He said they had their robes washed white in the blood of the Lamb. They weren't washed in different things. They were all washed in the blood of the Lamb. They were all washed with one blood. They were all saved by one grace. They were all saved by one baptism. They all had faith in one God. Hey, thank the Lord. And it all was rooted in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
How it grew. How it still grows. How awesome is God. Jesus began to speak another parable to him. He told him, he said it was like leaven that a woman took and she hid it. 3 measures of meal. I don't know how much leaven you put in a measure of meal. I don't really know how big a measure of meal is. I didn't study it out. I'm sure you could find it in some of your texts. But I do know what the parable was, simply that a little bit. And oftentimes in the Bible, it references leaven as being like sin. But that's not what Christ was telling them here. He was likening it unto the kingdom of heaven. In other words, you take a little bit and it has an effect on a great, great many. And so that one gospel message, how effective is it? Well, it's still effective today. That's why it needs to be preached today. Above anything else and beyond anything else, the gospel of Jesus Christ must be preached. Because it's the thing that has the effect. It's not a sad story. Hey, listen, I know we've got preachers in our land today and we've got seminaries everywhere telling people, well, get up in the pulpit. You can make a livelihood out of being a preacher or a pastor. And if you tell a sad story, give them a poem, make your 3 points, close it all up, wrap it up in a nice bundle and let everybody go out the door and they'll feel good about it. They can jot notes down, and if they look it up on the internet, they can find the same message that you gave, because after all, that's probably where they downloaded it from. But it has no effect when it's from the heart of men. It has an effect when it comes from heaven. Men never put the leaven in there. God put the measure in there. After all, it wasn't the words of men that began to stir and change my heart and change my attitude and change my realization that I was lost. It was the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ that made me realize I was a sinner. And above anything else, I needed to be saved. And that Holy Ghost, when it began to knock, and the gospel of Jesus Christ was preached, and they was preaching, they weren't preaching a poem in 3 points. They weren't preaching, hey, listen, all these things about what God can do and what He might do, and hey, listen, what He's done for so-and-so down the road. What was I hearing? I was hearing, you're lost, and you need to be saved, and Christ died for you and shed His blood for you, and you got to come and repent, or hell will be your home. I didn't care what Jesus had done for mom or dad. What He did for mom and dad was good, but it didn't pertain to me. I had to realize what He did for me. And I realized, had to realize where I was lacking. And that I was the one lost. I was the one in need of help. And I'll say this. God didn't have to do that, but He did it because He loved me.
Amen.
And He showed me that because He cared for me. So why is He awesome? He's awesome because I didn't understand that kind of love, and I still don't understand that kind of love. But that's the love of God. What a great God. And think about this. He don't judge like we judge. He knows we're all rotten and no good. He knows we're all undeserving. He knew that from the start. When He come walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and Eve were there hiding themselves. They had sown the fig leaves, so they hid from God. He already knew where they were. He knew they were going to have to be cast out of the garden. He knew they couldn't stand in His presence. He knew they couldn't get back in. When He put the sword there, and the flaming sword, and hey, listen, it turned every which way, the gate of the garden, so mankind couldn't get back in to be in the presence of God and enjoy all the things of God. He's the one that put it there. Because sin had separated them. And from that time when sin was pronounced on man, all men were under sin. The sin of Adam was imputed to everybody. And none of us were worthy. But yet God in His awesomeness, and His love, and His power, made a way that we could come back in. And Christ in His life, and the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, opened the door.
Amen.
So that we could walk out of the depths of sin and darkness and step into the marvelous light of God.
Amen. That's right.
How hard was the step? Just one step of faith is all it was. God made it so easy. I mean, think about it. Like I said already, if we talk about how do you get to heaven, we would complicate things. Hey, if anyone could have complicated it, God could have complicated it. But He didn't. He made a way so simple that even a child could comprehend it and understand it.
That's awesome. Amen.
Man, what a great and awesome God we have that loves us so much.
Amen.
And I'm amazed at all that you go back and you study the history of Jerusalem. Study the history of Canaan. Study the history of the time of Jesus when the Romans were over there and the government had come in. And study all those things and how there were a lot of people rising up. And even the Bible gives us an account of that in the book of Acts. It talks about some coming up claiming to be something. They all had been taught that the Messiah was coming, but they were all looking in the wrong way. But yet, nonetheless, there were men that would rise up claiming they were something, and they would come to nothing. And when they called Peter and John in for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the Jews were angry, and the Pharisees and Sadducees were upset because the Sanhedrin had already killed Jesus and thought they'd done away with Him. They'd even paid large money, according to the Bible, to the guards there so they would lie. And John and Peter were out there preaching in the synagogue and preaching Jesus Christ, and people were believing and getting saved, and they wanted to beat Him and they wanted to kill Him, and there was a man there in the Jews, and he said, wait a minute, What did he say? It was Gamaliel, I believe it was. Amen. Gamaliel was considered a doctor of the law.
Yes.
He was one of the men who were on the council, high up in the court. And he told him, he said, "Don't you remember this one?" And I mean, he named a couple, right? And he said they came to be something. They had so many disciples, and he said it came to naught. It came to nothing. In other words, they rose up and they went by the wayside. Because they weren't right. And he said, if this be of man, just leave it alone, it'll go to nothing. He said, but if this is of God, there's nothing we can do about it. He said, this be of God, who are we? Will we stand and fight against God? And he was right. And you could see it begin to grow. And how the gospel began to spread. I'm amazed. And I always say, you take a look at that moment in our history that's recorded, the life of Jesus Christ, and what an impact that's had. Surely. I mean, so no wonder the Roman looked up and said, surely, this is the Son of God. He's had more effect. Jesus has had more effect. The gospel's had more effect on the lives of men and women than anything else that we've ever seen.
Amen.
That's awesome. It's just the power of God.
Yes.
And I'm glad it's in our hearts. I'm glad I don't have to only read it, but I can feel it. We sing about it. We rejoice in it. Because we feel it on the inside. And that's awesomeness of God.
Yes.
And I love Him tonight. We love you tonight. Brother James, come. And I don't know what you have. As we preach this morning, if you're here, you're saved, or you're lost. I look around. I say that most everyone here has made a profession. I hope you're right with the Lord. I hope you're right with the Lord.
Right.
I hope you're nested in the gospel. I hope you're... We sing about the good old gospel ship. I hope you're on board. I hope you're part of it. I hope you're in the vine. Christ told him, he said, without me, you can do nothing, is what he told him. I'm glad he's still bringing us in. Still bringing people in. All Jesus Christ said, all you that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me. There was a call that went out. And Christ just simply said, come. Come. That's what the Spirit says when it draws us. It says, come. So tonight, if you're here and you need help, you don't fully understand how good God is and what he can do for you, all I could say is just come. That's what Philip told Nathanael when he questioned. He said, just come and see. Just come and see. Can God really do for me the things that you said? Just come and see.
Amen.
Can Jesus help me? Just come and see. Can he really take away all my burdens? Come and see. Can he take away my sin? Come and see. I mean, I can tell you until I'm blue in the face, but best thing I can tell you is come and see. Find out for yourself. Don't just take my word for it. Find out for yourself. While we stand tonight, while they sing. Nothing but the blood. Anyone have a testimony tonight before we make a few announcements?
I thank God for my salvation, Victor. I thank God that He